From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1:59.45. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
It's Allie Dar and Affirm battling back along the inside. We'll test these two to the wire. Affirmed under a left-hand whip. Allie Dar on the outside driving. Affirmed and Allie Dar heads apart. Affirm's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
The Derby winner, Brenda Bird, closing a late gap, but it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the show that launched this network. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you in my home studio. Lee Delapina, my producer, is in our studio in the heart of the Bluegrass, and Chauncey handling all of our social media for us again this morning as we continue to practice our safe social distancing here on the network. And happy to have you with me for the next couple of hours, everyone who is tuning in on Sirius 219, XM Channel 201, all of you who are listening on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and yeah, everyone tuning in digitally on our website at horseracingradio.net or listening to the podcast of this program after I finish up this morning, happy to have you along for the ride. It is going to be another busy program, jam-packed with special guests and different events that I'm going to bring your way over the course of the next couple of hours. 133 days, 10 hours, 47 minutes, and 51 seconds until the Run for the Roses, Saturday, September 5th at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Maybe more pressing, at least from a time perspective at this point anyways, is that we are now only 7 days, 9 hours, 47 minutes, and 52 seconds away from the first ever HRRN Fantasy Derby, which comes your way next Saturday, which would, of course, traditionally be Kentucky Derby Day, but we figured that because there is no Derby, we'll bring you a Fantasy Derby. 20 of the most legendary Kentucky Derby winners of all time, voted on, by the way, by our listeners and by folks in the industry, and we thank you for that. 20 of the most legendary Kentucky Derby winners will compete in a mile and a quarter test to determine who is the greatest of all time. That field, if you haven't seen it, is up on our website at horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby. You can go right now and take a look at the 20 horses competing. The field includes 9 of the 13 Triple Crown winners. NBC announcer Larry Colmus is going to have the call for you. Our award-winning broadcast team will have the coverage from 5 to 6 Eastern next Saturday. It's all presented by Claiborne Farm. And prior to that broadcast, from 3 to 5 next Saturday, you're going to hear a special replay of our 2014 broadcast of California Chrome winning the Kentucky Derby for trainer Art Sherman and his son Alan. No Derby on Derby Day? Yeah, no problem. 3 hours of Derby Day programming for you here on the network. Technically 5 if you count this program next Saturday morning. And I'll be doing some special things. You'll hear from so many people involved with our Fantasy Derby next Saturday afternoon. But I'll do that next Saturday morning here on this program. That's going to be a lot of fun, too. And why do I start with that this morning? Well, at 9 a.m. Eastern, I'm going to be assisted by racing official Dan Bork and my beautiful wife, Michelle, to bring you the post position draw for our first ever Fantasy Derby. And immediately following that post-draw, the pontiff of the pick four, Jude Feld, is going to be here to provide his interpretation of the morning line for the Fantasy Derby. And then I'll be joined by the Duke of Degeneracy himself, Ed DeRosa, from TwinSpires and Brisnet.com, and of course our Brisnet.com call-in show here on the network. Ed's going to be with me right after we do the post-draw to handicap the race. So how about that? That's going to be a lot of fun, too. I can't wait to get to that portion of the show. But coming up before that, at 8:35 Eastern, Dell Hancock is going to be with me. Dell from Claiborne Farm. She's going to look back on the 1984 Kentucky Derby winner, Swale. And by the way, the Claiborne Color Bearer is among the 20 horses in the Fantasy Derby field next Saturday. She's also going to look back on the great Secretariat, who retired to Claiborne following his remarkable racing career. Can't wait for that segment at 8:35. And there is plenty of other news, non-fantasy news, in the world of racing this week. Tampa Bay Downs coming out saying that they have received approval from Florida regulators to expand their meet through May 30th. Remember, they were originally scheduled to close on May 3rd. They're going to keep running all the way through May 30th. That is welcome news to horse players who are continuing to starve for that content. Gulfstream Park, of course, they're continuing on. Oaklawn, they're continuing on. That's good news, too. On the flip side, Arlington Park announced that their meet, which was scheduled to begin April 27th, is going to be suspended with no definitive date set to begin the meet. Churchill Downs came out and announced that they will have to delay opening of their barn area until May 5th, and then we're all hoping to see racing return without fans at some point next month. That's the hopeful game plan, anyways, over at Churchill Downs. Woodbine, which was scheduled to open on April 18th, has also been closed to racing indefinitely, and only essential workers are allowed at Woodbine to care for the horses. The Toronto Sun posted an article about 10 days ago outlining just how difficult this closure is for the workers involved with Woodbine and the workers who are typically involved with working with the horses. I mentioned only essential workers are allowed, but there are several others who are not, and they rely solely on racing to make a living. And the article went on to outline the frustration that many of those workers have watching other tracks such as Gulfstream and Oaklawn and Tampa Bay Downs and others continue to run races while observing new social media distancing protocols, and that appears to be working. And they're frustrated because they see this happening, and yet there is no light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. They don't see a date that says, okay, we're back racing without fans or however it's going to be at this point. And I think the growing sentiment, not only at Woodbine, but in many other racing jurisdictions, is why not us? Why not us? Why can other tracks do it, but we can't? And I'm going to be joined in just a few minutes at 8:15 Eastern by Jim Lawson, who is the CEO of Woodbine. I'll ask him that question. We'll find out if there is a plan in place, a light at the end of the tunnel, when Woodbine hopes to get back to some sort of racing. And again, more than likely going to be doing it without fans, and that's okay. It's working in other parts of the United States. Maybe it can work at Woodbine. I don't know. We'll get an update from Jim Lawson coming up 8:15 Eastern time after our first commercial break. That leads me to the poll question this morning. And you can go to @HRN on Twitter to let me know your thoughts. Should all racetracks be allowed to race without fans if they incorporate strict social distancing protocols? Should all racetracks be allowed to race without fans if they incorporate strict social distancing protocols? That's the poll question. Two answers, yes or no. It's black and white. I want to know your thoughts. And there are people on both sides of this argument. People will say, no, it's too soon. We shouldn't be doing it now. Other people will say, yeah, absolutely. We need to get back and we need to be racing on a bigger scale. So I want to hear from you. Should all racetracks be allowed to race without fans if they incorporate strict social distancing protocols? And, of course, do it safely. And speaking of Oaklawn and Gulfstream Park, Oaklawn has two stakes races on their 11-race card today. Gulfstream has a 12-race card highlighted by the Unbridled Stakes for three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth on the main track. And I'm going to talk with trainer Mark Hennig, who will saddle Americanus later this afternoon in that race. It's a seven-horse field exiting a allowance win at Gulfstream Park. Mark will be with me at 9:40 Eastern. Mark, a longtime assistant to Hall of Famer Dwayne Lucas. He was there when Winning Colors won the Kentucky Derby. And I'm going to talk to him about that sensational filly as well. Winning Colors voted to be among the 20 horses competing in our Fantasy Derby next Saturday, too. So a lot of ground to cover here this morning. Just a recap for you, Jim Lawson coming up at 8:15 Eastern from Woodbine. Del Hancock going to visit with her at 8:35 Eastern. Our Fantasy Derby post-position draw at 9 o'clock Eastern, followed by Jude Feld with the morning line. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Briss will handicap the race for us right around 9:25 Eastern, and Mark Henning at about 9:43 Eastern time this morning. So a lot of things to get to. We have our poll question out there. I'll update those results as we move throughout the program. But Jim Lawson's coming up next right here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Spendthrift Farms' popular Safe Bet program is back for 2020, featuring freshman sires Brody's Cause, Cinco Charlie, and Hit It A-Bomb. Breed to one of these stallions and watch their first crop of two-year-olds have greatest stakes success on the racetrack this year, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born in 2021. To learn more about the Safe Bet program, visit spendthriftfarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's spendthriftfarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They have 3/16 of a mile to come. And coming into the stretch, it's Northern Dancer. He's pulling away now. Northern Dancer in front by 3 or 4 lengths. Langcrest is holding on to the second position. Grand Garçon is third and return trip. It's Northern Dancer. He moves out in front by 8 lengths now with 70 yards to go. And coming down the wire, Canada's great little horse, Northern Dancer, wins handily by 7. Langcrest gets the second money.
Oh, who can forget that horse, Northern Dancer? The great, who is the only horse, by the way, to win the Queen's Plate. And that call of the Queen's Plate right there for you. The only horse to win the Queen's Plate and the Kentucky Derby. He was certainly special, and that happened, of course, in 1964. And I'm joined now by Jim Lawson, who is the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. Unfortunately, the Queen's Plate is on hold for a little bit this year. We'll see when we might reschedule it. I'm going to ask Jim that here momentarily. But, Jim, first of all, good morning, my friend. Happy to have you along for the ride.
Morning. Nice to be on this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you holding up north of the border?
Well, good. Personally good. It's been, a struggle for everyone, and particularly as we appreciate in the racing industry. And so we're just trying to keep things going best we can at Woodbine for now, and hopefully for not only us, but for everyone else in the world that this turns our way. And let's hope we can get some racing going in the next couple of months here.
Yeah, where are we with the current situation with the health advisories in Canada and the state of emergency, everything that's taken place? Where are we now, and where are we on the racing front?
Well, I mean, it's like it is everywhere else. Some places with dense populations, in Ontario being the most populous province, and Quebec have had higher cases, a higher number of positives than in smaller provinces. I know Prince Edward Island, which is small and quite unique, has done an amazing job, and Saskatchewan West has also done an amazing job, but not dense populations in either place. And so we are, we're doing our best in the Ontario, Toronto area with physical distancing, and I think people are doing a good job. The numbers are always troubling, but not off the charts. And as that relates to racing, we've had the backstretch going at Woodbine for over a month now. We have not had a positive case on the Woodbine backstretch, and we have over 1,100 horses there today, and have had the entire time. And how many people come onto the backstretch to look after 1,100 horses. So our management team's done a great job, and we are now moving into gearing up for racing, which it's hard to predict, and we don't like to get ahead of ourselves, but we're hoping in the next couple of months we'll get going with live racing, both on the thoroughbred side and the harness racing side over at Mohawk.
What are some of the things, Jim, that have to fall into place before you can say, okay, we're open for business again, even if it's without fans?
Yeah, it's a good question. First of all, I'll say it will be without fans. I don't have any doubt about that. We are blessed at Woodbine with a great simulcasting and broadcasting team, as you know. That will help us get underway with our technology, and our HPI system is great. So we're well positioned relative to racing with fans. What will have to happen? There's a state of emergency currently in place in Ontario, which restricts most activities, very much restricted to essential businesses. So there's no construction going on except for infrastructure. There are no restaurants open. There are literally no businesses open in Ontario, and that's going to be addressed by our premier on May the 12th, and hopefully there will be some restrictions eased, including as it relates to our business. It may not be specifically to the horse racing business, but hopefully it will allow activities to occur without spectators and with physical distancing in place. So the easing of restrictions will be the key to us, and of course those will only be eased if Ontario and in the greater Toronto area gets ahead of the curve, as people say. The numbers look promising today, but we all just keep our fingers crossed and hope we can get underway.
Yeah, there's always a fallout to these types of situations, and we're seeing it not just in racing, but across the board. There are so many people that are unemployed now, that have been laid off, that are hurting. And I know, Jim, that when you have come on with me in the past, one thing that you've always preached was team, 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 and family, family, family. And you have always been very conscious of taking care of the Woodbine racetrack family. And there are a lot of people that aren't able to be there to work right now, that can't make a living, that rely on Woodbine Racetrack being open. How do you present yourself and the industry and the racetrack to them and say, hey, here's what we're doing. Hold on, here's what we're doing. Things will get better. How are you talking to them, and what things are you doing?
Yeah, great question. Thanks, Mike, for giving me the opportunity to answer that too. We are, first and foremost, the messaging to our people and our employees is that we have to do our part. As a corporate citizen, we shut down immediately. And as much as anything, doing our part to contribute to help to curtail this virus. And I think that was an important messaging, not only for their own safety, but for everyone's safety in the community. So they were very understanding of that. Secondly, of capital. We have approximately a $70 million payroll at Woodbine, and we could not go on for many, many months with that kind of payroll and be able to come back. So the second message to them all was, listen, this too shall pass. This is temporary. We all know it's temporary, and if we can preserve our capital, we'll get over this. And in fact, if we do our part and close down now, we're going to get over this quicker and we'll be back and running quicker. And people have taken that to heart and been very understanding. On the horse people side and on the employee side, we communicate. I issue a weekly newsletter now to the entire horse community. I had a Q&A, a public Q&A on the internet a couple of weeks ago. We've got another one planned for May the 12th. And the other thing that we've done is we have worked with the Ontario government, Mike, so that every horse in training, every three-year-old and up, and we'll deal with two-year-olds in June if we're not racing by June, the owners are receiving $1,500 per horse to help care for their horses for April and May. And those applications went in. They've been coming in the last couple of weeks, run through Woodbine people, Ontario Racing Management, and that too has been a great step for us and for the Ontario government to help horse people in this province. And these are any people who have had horses running at Woodbine or have stall applications at Woodbine, and they've been very appreciative and thankful to receive that money. I think that's really unprecedented for people to get to that kind of money to look after their horses for the next couple of weeks, a couple of months, and we'll revisit it in June. And so it's we've done a lot. I'm proud to say that through government programs, we're planning on bringing a good portion of our people back. All of our people have remained with their benefits, and we've maintained a number of employees. So we're looking forward to ramping back up. And as I said, with the preservation of capital, we should come back stronger.
Yeah, it's great to hear. Talking with Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, there was a tweet that you had sent out, and it was an article that was published on Sportsnet in Canada. And it says, horse racing is in a unique position to rebound faster than other sports. So let's look at the bigger picture here. You truly believe that we are in a position where when we come out of this, we can rebound quicker than other sports. How come?
Well, I think it's been proven that what's going on at Gulfstream and in Oaklawn and Tampa right now and really across the world, because we're working very closely with Australia and with Hong Kong and with France and UK coming on soon. It's certainly a sport that through technology and since our revenue is really based on wagering, then we're in a unique position in terms of a sports and entertainment property to come back very quickly. It's been proven with the proper physical distancing guidelines and hygiene guidelines that the tracks are working on together and sharing, we are in a position to present our sport. And we are not a gate-driven league in any way. So that's very different from most sports properties. The NFL is probably an example of one that is also not gate-driven. It's broadcast-driven, but of course it's got obvious issues with physical distancing. So the horse racing world is in a unique opportunity to be the only game in town for a while, and and working with broadcasting companies. We are talking now to our broadcasting partner in Canada, TSN, which is under the Bell Network, and they're very interested in taking our product. And we've seen that same situation in the United States. So I think there's a good opportunity to, and importantly, expose horse racing and present horse racing to a new generation of fans where people are at home and looking for things to do. And I think that's an important thing if we do get the opportunity, Mike, to present horse racing in a way that's going to have appeal to the younger generation. So if we get a chance to be on major network television, where our goal is to produce a show that's going to be fun and interesting for a whole new generation of fans. And that's one of our opportunities as an industry right now.
Yeah, with every challenge comes an opportunity to respond to that challenge, Jim, and to find ways to do some unique things to deal with the situation that we're in. And you talk about presenting the sport to a younger audience, and maybe you package the sport a little bit differently. I don't know what it entails, but have you thought through that process a little bit and some of the things that we might do differently as an industry that can make the sport appealing to a younger demographic?
Well, there's different ways of looking at that. Certainly, Mike, we've talked before about Dark Horse. It's a new app that we are going to launch now in May. We've been put back or held back somewhat by this virus, and Dark Horse is an app for your phone that will use artificial intelligence to make selections. It takes you through the horses. It's wagering. It puts that wager or new wager in particular on a level playing ground with the electronic wagers that we hear about all the time, and of course are big customers of Trax. But that will make it fun because one of the challenges that we hear is from that younger generation is they find horse racing, pari mutuel wagering, too complicated. They don't like reading the racing form, and it takes too long. And so Dark Horse is a product that we're going to come out with that will actually have the look and feel of fixed odds, and it still will be under our law, pari mutuel, but it will basically make the selections, and it has a format that's much more, because of the way the artificial intelligence does the wagering, it has much more of a fixed odds feel to it. And I think the younger generation wants that, and I think you're going to see that, especially with sports betting now legal in most states in the United States, or many racing jurisdictions. You're going to see a gravitation towards fixed odds wagering. And the trick for the industry right now is to ensure that attracts new customers, as opposed to cannibalizing too much of the pari mutuel product. So that's one area that, as an industry, is an opportunity. And the other thing that we're always pressed with that other sports enjoy is we have to do a better job of promoting our stars and making it more fun for people. And of course, we need stars. That's a segue eventually into all the great horses in your derby that we're going to talk about. But I think it's important to produce content that's more fun. It's worked in other sports, and I think it's important for racing to understand that it's no different. That this is what a whole new generation of fans is now looking for. They're looking for different media. They're looking for content that they can see on their telephones, because that's the way they consume media now. They don't watch it on television. They watch it on their phones. They watch highlights. They want to see real people. They want to see content. And I think we need to do, firstly, a better job, as I said, with our wagering and the complications of pari mutuel wagering. And then secondly, we need to just market our sport better to a new generation of fans. And I think the industry has not done a great job of that. And we're hoping to do a number of those things. And this is a unique opportunity in the next few months that the racing industry can do some of those things. And I hope they do.
If you're just joining me here on the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence this morning, visiting with Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. He's talking about some of the situation, some of the ways that they're dealing with the current situation in Canada, and when we may see racing return to that spectacular racetrack north of the border. Jim, let me segue here. I've got about 2 minutes left before I have to get to my next commercial break, but I do want to ask you, since you just brought it up again, our Fantasy Derby next Saturday, 5 to 6 Eastern here on the network, 20 of the most legendary Kentucky Derby winners of all time, and that list includes Northern Dancer, who was voted in by our fans and by the industry. He'll take on a star-studded group, and you and I were emailing back and forth yesterday. He's going to have his hands full coming up next Saturday.
It's a great field, but listen, I've got to speak as a proud Canadian here, and as a person who's been involved in a lot of sports, I will say the one challenge that you often have is comparing a running back from the 1950s or the 1960s to a running back in the NFL in the 2000s. And one of the things that racing has differently, Mike, is we've got times. We've got a mile and a quarter distance. We've got the same time. So as a proud Canadian, I'll tell you, there's only one horse in your entire field that's run the Kentucky Derby, which is what we're talking about here, a classic distance. And Northern Dancer, 56 years, there's only been one horse in the field, that being Secretariat, that's run the Derby quicker than Northern Dance did in 1964. And so he's got to be right up there. He is, and I think he's got a chance to win it on heart. He's a horse that was only 15 hands. He's legendary in the fact that they talk about his tail could touch the ground. He was a runt. 14 hands at the yearling sale, and no one wanted him. In fact, one thing I learned about him is that no one even really wanted to ride him. He had, by the time Bill Hartack rode him in the Derby, that was a seventh jockey that had ridden him, and he hadn't had that many starts. So he was just a runt of a horse with a big heart, and he ran the Derby in 2 minutes. Just to make my case to you, he galloped out in the bluegrass a couple of weeks before quicker than most of the horses in this race. In your race at running the Derby, so I'm going all in on Northern Dancer, and he's got a heart, and he won the Derby by a neck, and Secretariat, who's the only horse in your field that has run faster than him in the Derby, kind of sauntered to the, well, not quite sauntered because he had a record time, but he sauntered with a win by 4.5 or 5 lengths that day. So I think Northern Dancer's heart is going to carry him through. And he's got the timing to back that prediction up.
I love it. Defend the home team. Great stuff. Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. Northern Dancer for him next Saturday in our Fantasy Derby. Jim, listen, I know you're dealing with an awful lot of things up there, and everybody is. And keep things moving in the right direction. Keep fighting the good fight, and we'll look forward to getting up there, hopefully before too long. Look forward to seeing our friends up there at Woodbine Entertainment again very, very soon.
Thanks, Mike. Nice to be on. Stay safe. I wish everyone in this industry all the best. We're going through tough times, but we're all going to get through this together, and take care, everyone. And thanks, and look forward to seeing you.
Well said. Stay safe, Jim. Jim Lawson here on HRRN. And fantastic stuff from him. And just a tough situation all around. But hopefully we'll see racing back before too long. At Woodbine, it would be a welcome thing for so many people. Going to get to our next break in deference to a very busy program and our special guest Del Hancock coming up next to talk about Swale and look back on the career of the great Secretariat. Going to bypass our Legends of the Turf story brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington, but we will have a commercial for the Lexus Store. Don't forget that even though the showroom is not open at the Lexus Store of Lexington, the service department is. So if you need to get oil changes or you're coming up on your next mandatory check-in with them, make sure you do it. The service department is open, and I know that we all look forward to seeing the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington back in action before too long. Going to get to this break. I'll come back with Del Hancock on the other side of this. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the Speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
First Crop 2-year-olds by Airdrie Studs Upstart are the talk of the industry. At the OBS March sale, all six offered were sold for an average of $260,000, a spectacular return on his $10,000 stud fee. The $600,000 sale-topping colt out of Blue Burrow was one of two upstarts purchased by leading agent Mike Ryan, who said, "We won't find a better horse this year." Upstart has sired 101 First Crop Juveniles of 2020 and stands at Airdrie Stud for $10,000 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They're into the sprint. It's Swale in front by two. In the center of the track, fight over. On the outside, it's Octopresso. Comes to the trail, now takes fourth. And it's Life's Magic on the extreme outside gate dancer with Valley Time. They're nearing the finish. It's all Swale. He's there by four lengths. On the outside, Hope's Meet Chad second. At the wire, it's Swale winning the bet. He gets it by three lengths.
How about that? Mike Battaglia, Swale, 1984, winning the Kentucky Derby. Racing in the orange colors of Claiborne Farm. Going to be joined by Del Hancock coming up shortly to look back on Swale and talk about the great Secretariat. Looking forward to that visit coming up here in just a few minutes. Swale, of course, part of our Fantasy Derby field next Saturday, and we'll have that coverage for you 5 to 6 Eastern on the network. If you're just tuning in, I told you at the top of the show that next Saturday, because it is traditionally Kentucky Derby Day and we won't be there to broadcast the Derby this year, we are going to provide a 3-hour programming block from 3 to 6 Eastern of all Derby content. From 3 to 5, you'll hear our replay of our 2014 broadcast with California Chrome winning the Kentucky Derby. And then from 5 to 6, our Fantasy Derby coverage kicks off. Our entire award-winning broadcast team, Larry Colmus from NBC, will bring you the call of the Fantasy Derby. And we know that Swale is going to be a horse who many people will have their eye on, no doubt about it. He raced in those, as I said, orange colors of Claiborne Farm. All of our coverage presented by Claiborne. And I have the privilege now to be joined by Del Hancock to look back on the great Swale and, of course, talk about the great Secretariat as well. Del, first of all, good morning. Happy to have you along.
Well, I'm happy to be here. It's a beautiful morning here in Kentucky, that's for certain.
Oh, it is spectacular. You know, when you and I were emailing back and forth yesterday, one thing you said to me was that you were just disappointed we couldn't all be experiencing the beautiful weather and the great Keeneland meet here in April, and I think many people would echo those sentiments, but it does make you appreciate everything that you have around you now, doesn't it?
It really does. I guess if that adage, absence makes the heart grow fonder, we certainly have learned that this year without Keeneland, because it's special, and it's just a shame with the weather being what it is, we haven't been able to have it, but there you are.
Yeah, no, I agree. We just heard the call of Swale winning the Kentucky Derby in 1984. When I say the name Swale, what are some of the first things that come to mind for you?
Well, you know, it was a special time. We had such a wonderful relationship with Woody Stevens, and he was sick, and the horse, you know, it just kept getting better and better, it looked like, and he was good to Woody. He was certainly great to everybody here at the farm. The Derby was something that had eluded us, and it was great that we could win it. And it certainly was wonderful for my mother and something Seth wanted to do for her, and so it was really special.
The way his name came about, too, is an interesting story. Tell me that story, Del.
Well, Mama named him. He was the most laid-back horse in the world. I think he was in the second set. We were breaking yearlings here at the farm then, and everybody would come down to the barn where he was and jog around the shed row there, and he would go out and gallop and do whatever he was supposed to do, and he'd come back and he'd just lay down, and he'd just start snoring. And one day the boys went out to get him up early in the morning in the field, and they couldn't find him, and they thought, he jumped the fence or whatever. He was down in the bottom in the swale. He was just down there stretched out snoring. Nothing bothered that horse. So that's how he came up with the name Swale. Mama actually named him.
That's tremendous. What a great story. He was a bit of a sleepyhead, and that's fine. He wasn't sleepy when he went to the racetrack. You know, and he comes out, and he shows his ability very, very early in his career. When did you and the team at Claiborne first know that Swale was special?
I think Woody always told Seth that he thought he was a real nice horse. I remember Seth and I went up to watch him run in Belmont in his first race, and he finished third. And Seth said, oh, he'll improve off that. And he did. And he came on. And had it not been for Devil's Bag, he probably would have been 2-year-old champion. But there was Devil's Bag in the barn, who was brilliant and deserved to be 2-year-old champion. But then Swale really grew from 2 to 3. And Devil's Bag had that knee that was bothering him. And so it was great that Swale picked the ball up and went on and did what he did. And I only wish he had lived longer, because it seemed like he was just getting better and better.
For those of us who have never had the great fortune of owning a Kentucky Derby winner, how would you, Del, put into words what it means to win the Kentucky Derby?
Well, it's almost a feeling of euphoria. I mean, that horse hit the quarter pole, and it was obvious there wasn't much closing on him, and you just thought, oh, just keep going now. And it really is. It's a kind of almost out-of-body experience when it happens. Winning any race is great, but winning that one is really special, especially when you've got the history this farm does with racing, and knowing that, you know, I think Dad always wanted to win it, and here we were winning it, and it was great. Arthur had won it before, and it was just something to think that, you know, the Hancocks were winning it again, and Claiborne for the first time.
Yeah, and this was really all Claiborne breeding, too. Talk about Swale's pedigree.
Well, when Dad died, we had a dispersal sale, and we sold all our horses in training, but we kept Swale's mama, Tuirta, because she was the last stakes winner that Daddy saw. And so she was... sentimentally, we didn't want to sell her, and we kept her, and sure am glad we did, because otherwise we wouldn't have had Swale. But Tuirta means one eye, too, and Daddy always, you know, he wanted a colt out of Continue, her mother, and Daddy went up to the foaling barn that morning, and the boy said, Mr. Hancock, that mare had a filly, and Dad wasn't too pleased, and they said, and she only has one eye. So Daddy was really upset about that. And sometimes things turn around and everything works out.
Yeah, it worked out beautifully in 1984. What a racehorse Swale was. And, of course, a son of Seattle Slough. And Seattle Slough is, was one of those horses that was always somewhat of a bulldog in the stretch. And I think Swale inherited some of those same qualities. Seattle Slough and Swale are both part of our Fantasy Derby field next Saturday here on the network. And Secretariat is too. And many people would regard Secretariat as the greatest horse of all time. Dell, he had a tremendous stallion career at Claiborne. When I say the name Secretariat, what things come to mind?
Oh, pretty boy. He was just a very, very striking horse. And once again, he sure was special to the Hancock family and to Claiborne, because he came along, you know, right after my father had died. And here Seth was this young kid starting to run the farm, and he was able to syndicate Secretariat. And I think it put Seth on the map where people thought, well, this boy does know what he's doing and he can get the job done. And that was, you know, huge for Seth, and wonderful for the horse that it came back here, because Dad was really the one who engineered the maiden with the Chenneries and the Phipps. And so it was kind of a completed circle, and he sure was a thrill to have here, because he was just a very, very special horse, not only as a racehorse, but as just a specimen.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting the way things work out in life. It was almost destiny that Secretariat would be Secretariat. It came down to a coin toss initially, didn't it?
It did. And the Phipps actually won the coin toss, and they took a filly because they wanted to have a filly. And so they had the first choice, which was a filly, and then the meadow got Secretariat.
Yeah, just amazing. And it's just amazing the way these things work out. Do you have a favorite Secretariat moment or a favorite Secretariat story that you like to tell?
Oh, my favorite Secretariat moment, you know, I like to take photographs, and he was a fun horse to photograph. You know, as soon as he saw the camera, he perked up. And I've always thought that good horses know they're good. It doesn't matter what kind of horse they are. But he certainly had that presence where he thought, you know, I'm special and I'm here and I'm going to show off. And I was out in the paddock one day taking photographs, and I got a unusually nice picture of him. And so that's my favorite Secretariat moment. But I'd say for everybody, when he won the Belmont, that was awesome.
I would assume that even now he is still extremely popular when people come visit the farm.
Oh, some people come out here, and that's all they want to see is his grave.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. That's got to be one of the draws you know, I mean, he really transcended the sport of thoroughbred racing when you think about it.
Well, don't forget, after he won the Triple Crown, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Newsweek, and Time. That doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Big Red, Secretariat, he'll, again, be one of the horses in our 20-horse Fantasy Derby field next Saturday. Dell, I want to give you an opportunity, by the way, visiting with Dell Hancock here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, just to talk about the Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation. You are the chairman of the board of that organization that does some amazing work. Just talk about some of the things going on now with the Jockey Club Research Foundation.
Well, it's just a wonderful organization, and what we try to do is we try to fund research that addresses problems that people are seeing not only on the racetrack but also on the farms. For instance, this year we funded some freezers because we've been experiencing nocardiform placentitis in central Kentucky, and you can't duplicate that. So we donated UK some money for freezers so that they can freeze samples and have it for future research. One of the things that we've done recently is Dr. Spurrier, who's a UC Davis person, has the new scanning out at Santa Anita, which has been a wonderful asset to them. And it's also something that can be everywhere. It's an expensive machine, but it can be everywhere. It can hopefully show you where there might be future problems with soundness as far as fractures go. So I'm really proud of Grayson. I'm really proud to be associated with it. And it's the best thing that I do for the horses.
Well, Dell, keep up the wonderful work with the Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation, and really can't thank you enough for spending a little time here looking back on Swale, looking back on the great Secretariat. We could spend hours doing it, but really appreciate you spending a few minutes with me this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We will get that to you. And again, all the best moving forward with Grayson and with everything at Claiborne.
Thank you so much. I look forward to next Saturday seeing what your race is going to be like. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait. It should be a lot of fun. Del Hancock here on HRRN. That race, again, 5 to 6 Eastern next Saturday afternoon. And I'm going to have a special post-position draw coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern. I'm going to be joined by racing official Dan Bork and by my beautiful wife, Michelle, who will assist me in doing the post-position draw, an actual post-draw for all 20 horses in our Fantasy Derby. That comes up at 9 o'clock Eastern. Jude Feld will be with me immediately afterwards to set the morning line. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Briss will be with me after that at 9:25 Eastern to share his analysis of the race and how he would approach it from a handicapping perspective. It's going to be a lot of fun. That all comes your way starting at 9 o'clock Eastern. But when I come back, it's time for your Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Stay with me. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Power.
Tappert is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Tappert. Tappert still in front. Master Plan too late. Tappert will do it.
Passion.
It's Tappert. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Tappert and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Tappert, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Tappert set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Tappert ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Tappert, standing for 12,500 at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired 4 millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include Cutting Humor, winner of the Grade 3 Sunland Park Derby, Grade 2 winner Sharp Samurai, international star Shamal Nibras, graded stakes performers Uncapped and Sweet Sammy B, and Bal Harbor, runner-up in the Grade 1 Woodward Stakes. His two-year-olds have brought prices up to $310,000. First, Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Midshipman's holding him at bay, and Midshipman's coming on to win it, and Midshipman wins it a length and a half.
Darley Stallion Midshipman. Wow, what a performance that was. Still the fastest ever winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, stopping the clock that day in 140.94 for the mile and a 16th. An awesome effort that makes Midshipman your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse Champion two-year-old and record-breaking Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. His 10 two-year-old stakes horses in 2019 was topped only by Into Mischief and American Pharaoh. His 17% career black type horses from starters is among the best in the business, putting him among the top 10 stallions in Kentucky. And his current crop of 107 juveniles is his biggest crop yet. To learn more about Midshipman and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Whitmore looms large in the center of the racetrack. Here comes Whitmore outside of Hidden Scroll. Share the Upside, still very much part of this battle, and Whitmore has put his head in front. It is Whitmore now a length and a half in front of Share the Upside. Then to the inside, and Manny Waugh, he's going to do it again. Look at this racehorse. Flagstaff just ran into second. It is Whitmore. Holy mackerel. What a horse. Three count fleet sprint handicaps. Flagstaff second. Manny Waugh third.
Fixed offer with the call. That was last weekend's count fleet handicap. It went to Whitmore. He became the only horse ever to win that race three times. What a performance by Whitmore. And that move that he made, just breathtaking. It really was. And going to be joined in just a minute by our industry star of the week, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag quite yet, so I'll take a second to let you know that this segment each week is presented by Stuart Morris, and if you are around the horse sales, you know about Stuart Morris, who runs a top-notch operation, and Stuart, of course, has a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. His success is because of you, and with multiple stakes horses over the past several years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales. And again, he sponsors this segment every single week here on the Equine Forum, our industry star of the week, and nobody more fitting than this week's industry star. It is Leslie McCall, longtime Ron Moquette employee. She has worked with Whitmore. She has worked with so many horses in that Moquette barn over the years. And this past year, she had the honor of being named a Godolphin Industry Award winner for a Dedication to Racing Award. And I was part of the panel that had the opportunity to vote for Leslie. And she is very, very deserving. And she is with me now. And she is our Industry Star of the Week on this Saturday morning. Leslie, first of all, good morning. I know you're busy working, so I won't keep you long, but good morning, and thanks for taking a little time.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Listen, Whitmore, I mean, he is such a special horse, and I didn't necessarily bring you on here to talk about Whitmore, but I know you have a very special relationship with him.
We talk about Whitmore all day. We love Whitmore. What you want to know?
Well, seeing him win his third count fleet last weekend, what did that mean to you and to the entire team?
It was just motivation to keep on going. He's the superstar in our barn, and everybody's team Moquette. And when Whitmore pulls it out like he does, he's got a huge fan base, and it just everybody's over the moon, very excited.
Leslie, one thing that struck me when you came in to do your interview at Keeneland for the Godolphin Awards was your entire backstory and how you fell in love with racing. So kind of take me back to the beginning a little bit and talk about your love of racing, where that began, and how you got to where you are today.
When I was a little girl, I got my first pony, and that was it. When I was in fifth grade, you know how you do. You grow up around the ponies, and it was kind of a distraction from the boys, and it worked. And then my mom took me to Del Mar when I was a little girl, and she gave me and my brother $5. She said, here, go ahead and bet on something. And I got in the paddock, and I got to look around, and that stuck with me for a long time. And then when I finally was old enough to get to the racetrack, I made a beeline. I was like, I'm a fan, and I wanna be in the business. And start hot walking, and you know how you do. You just go from there.
Yeah, what do you like most about being around the horses and working with the Moquette operation?
I love the people that make the show go. I mean, I couldn't be in a better working environment. I mean, if you got to grind it out every day of the week, there's nobody that is better people to work for. And that's because the Moquette stable, they get it. They understand the horses. They know, they speak the language. And there's nothing that falls in the crack. Everything is every little detail down to everything. And we just produce a very good product. And it's like when we show up, we're ready. We got our game face on.
Leslie, you developed a reputation as being able to
handle and hold the tough ones, the tough horses? What's it take to be able to do that?
Who have you been talking to? That's what I want to know.
Hey, remember, I had to research your background for those awards.
I'm a farm girl. You know, you grow up big and strong and just doing what you do. And so the horses were easy for me because I love being outside and being out in the just in all the elements. You can't hurt my feelings when it's raining and cold and dark. It's just as good as when it's 75 and sunny. But to answer questions about the big, I don't gallop anymore, so I'm kind of just like the stable pony girl. But back in the day, I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Well, I think you still are, actually. Talking with Leslie McCall, our industry star of the week here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Leslie, I want you to talk about one other aspect of your story, which I fell in love with. You always go above and beyond. And what I mean by that is in your spare time, you spend time doing things, growing a garden and doing things to help other people. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's just the country girl. That's the way we were raised. Just, you gotta take care of your environment, and to have a garden is just natural because when I have a little farm, and so the waste to clean the stalls goes to the manure pile, which goes to the garden, which goes to the tomatoes that you grow, which goes to all the amigos and everybody that enjoys fresh produce in the summer. And, it's just a cyclic kind of thing. You can't help but get in the dirt and play around and just enjoy it.
I love the way you described it. Tomato love with a side of peppers. I thought that was great. And then every fall, I know you spend time making some Christmas horseshoe ornaments.
I do, and that's kind of the same kind of thing. There's a lot of stuff that you can repurpose. You can redo horse manure. You can redo horseshoes. You can clean them up. You can decorate them, and you can pass them out as Christmas gifts or decorate them up for whatever occasion. And people love them. It's a souvenir from the racetrack or a reminder of one of their good horses. You know, like one of the owners, you make it personal. You can give the owner their horseshoe decorated up, and they love it. You know, it just means something special to them, and it's something that would have been just thrown away. So I enjoy doing stuff like that, recycle and just kind of repurpose stuff.
Well, Leslie, I can tell you that racing is lucky to have you, and you're a very special person, and congratulations on being named this week's Industry Star of the Week. It is well-deserved. Keep up the great work. I know it's all about the love of the game for you, so keep up the great work, and good luck moving forward.
Mike, and thank you so much for your time, and I very much appreciate the interview. You made my day.
You made ours too. Leslie McCall here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, a longtime employee of Ron Moquette and part of that team, and she really does a phenomenal job. And if you want to know what makes her so special, just look back at the summer of 1995. I didn't want to bring this up to her because she gets very emotional, and I don't think she would have been able to get through it. But she was stabled at Ellis Park down in Henderson, Kentucky, and it was a muggy August morning, about 4 a.m. There was a fire that engulfed barn number 10 at Ellis that day. The barn was burning so ferociously that the fire could be seen from miles and miles away. And Leslie was there to help get people and to help get horses out. She saved, credited with like saving 27 horses, I believe it was. She did everything she could possibly do that day. She ran straight into the flames, and pretty special. Technically, you know what? I'm telling you wrong. Technically, there were 27 horses that she could not save, but she did save others. And again, running right into that flame, she's a special person. And my thanks to Leslie for being named the Industry Star of the Week and for taking the time here. That segment presented by Stuart Morris. All right, when I come back, our Fantasy Derby post position draw is coming up. Jude Feld will set the morning line. Ed DeRosa will handicap the race. And by the way, Mark Henning, still to come in the second half of the show. He'll talk about winning colors, and he'll talk about Americanus, who is going to the post later today in the Unbridled Stakes at Gulfstream. Back with our number two, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming real quiet. He's a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One we'll never forget. Looked impossible.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
On the inside, on a cottage board. On the outside, solo.
Here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. If you missed any portion of the first half of the show, my interview with Jim Lawson, CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, or with Del Hancock from Claiborne, or even Leslie McCall just moments ago, our industry star of the week, head back to horseracingradio.net. You can listen to a podcast of this show after I finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern. You can do that at your leisure, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts. Poll question today, so many votes coming in, and it's not even close right now. The poll question, should all racetracks be allowed to race without fans if they incorporate strict social distancing protocols? And like I say, it's not even close. 91% of HRN Nation saying absolutely yes. Only 9% coming in with a no on that particular poll question. So, yeah, I think everybody is ready for it. I think everybody sees what Gulfstream is doing, what Oaklawn is doing, what other tracks are doing, and they say, okay, why not us? Why can't we do the same thing? And Churchill, as I mentioned, delaying the opening of the barn area until May 5th, hoping to be back sometime in May, racing without fans. I think we would all welcome that, assuming that the racetracks incorporate these strict social distancing protocols, and we've seen it work at these other racetracks. So I tend to agree. Why not? Why not us? Again, go back and listen to the podcast of this show if you missed any portion of it. All right, next Saturday, our Fantasy Derby. I've been telling you about that throughout the program, and I told you that this was the time when we are going to bring you a special post-position draw. So without further ado, here it is, 20 horses set to go, the post-position draw for next week's Fantasy Derby. All right, we are set for the post-position draw for this year's Fantasy Derby. Post time for the Fantasy Derby next Saturday is set for 5:50 Eastern time. Our coverage, 5 to 6 Eastern. It's all presented by Claiborne Farm. 20 of the most legendary Kentucky Derby winners of all time, including 9 of the 13 Triple Crown winners, will compete at a mile and a quarter for the right to be called the greatest of all time. I'm assisted by racing official Dan Bork and my beautiful wife, Michelle. Dan will pull the pills, and Michelle will draw the sheet with the name of the horse, and we'll tell you a little bit more about them, and we'll go through all 20, and we'll start right now. Dan Bork, take it away, my friend.
Okay, let's go. Number 15.
Number 15, Winning Colors.
Winning Colors, one of only three fillies to win the Kentucky Derby when she pulled off the feat in 1988 before being named Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly that year, inducted into the Racing Hall of Fame in 2000, owned by Eugene Klein, trained by Dwayne Lucas, and the Hall of Famer Gary Stevens will be aboard Winning Colors.
Number 19.
Number 19, Affirmed.
Affirmed, winner of the 1978 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown. The Hall of Famer is a two-time Horse of the Year, owned by Harborview Farm, trained by Laz Barrera, ridden by jockey Steve Cawthon.
Number 4.
Number 4 is Seattle Slough.
And the second Triple Crown winner out of the box here today, the 1977 Triple Crown winner and Horse of the Year. He became a member of Horse Racing's Hall of Fame in 1981. Seattle Slough is owned by Karen and Mickey Taylor and Jim and Susan Hill, trained by Billy Turner, ridden by John Kruge.
Number Number 20,
Funnyside.
Funnyside became the first gelding to win the Derby in 2003 and is still the first New York bred ever to win that historic race. He is owned by Sakatoga Stable, trained by Barkley Tag. Jockey Jose Santos will be the Hall of Fame rider.
Number five
is Mind That Bird.
Mind That Bird, the upsetter of the 2009 Kentucky Derby at odds of 50-1. That's tied for the third biggest long shot ever to win the race. Owned by Double Eagle Ranch and Bueno Suerte Equine. Trained by Chip Woolley, jockey Calvin Burrell will be in the irons.
Number six,
Spectacular Bid.
The greatest horse to ever look through a bridle, according to his trainer. He wore the Derby roses in 1979 and was voted Horse of the Year in 1980. Owned by Hawksworth Farm, trained by Buddy Delp, jockey Ronnie Franklin is aboard.
Number 10
is American Pharoah.
American Pharoah, the 2015 Horse of the Year, used his fluid strides to vanquish a 37-year Triple Crown drought. He is owned by Zayat Stables, trained by the Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, and will be ridden by the Hall of Famer Victor Espinoza.
Number nine
is Justify.
All right, back-to-back Triple Crown winners for Bob Baffert, 2018 Triple Crown winner and Horse of the Year. He became the first horse to win the Kentucky Derby since 1882 without racing as a two-year-old. Owned by Windstar Farm, China Horse Club, head of Plains Partners and Starlight Racing, trained by Bob Baffert and ridden by Hall of Famer Mike Smith.
Number 17
is Whirlaway.
All right, Whirlaway swept the Triple Crown and was named Horse of the Year in 1941. The Hall of Famer, racing in those familiar colors of Calumet Farm, trained by Hall of Famer Ben Jones and will be ridden by Hall of Famer George Wolfe, the Iceman.
Number three
is War Admiral.
The 1937 Triple Crown winner and Horse of the Year and Hall of Famer is owned by Glen Riddle Farm, trained by George Conway, ridden by Charlie Kurtzinger, another Hall of Fame jockey in this year's Fantasy Derby field.
Number 11,
Count Fleet.
Count Fleet won the 1943 Triple Crown and was voted Horse of the Year that season. He is also a member of the Horse Racing Hall of Fame. He's owned by Fanny Hertz, trained by Don Cameron. Jockey Johnny Logdon is aboard.
Number 12
is California Chrome.
Oh, who can forget California Chrome? The two-time Horse of the Year wore the roses in 2014 and is the richest Kentucky Derby winner of all time. He is owned by California Chrome LLC, trained by Art Sherman, and he'll be ridden by Hall of Fame jockey Bill Shoemaker in the Fantasy Derby.
Fourteen is Sunday Silence.
Winner of the 1989 Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Breeders' Cup Classic en route to being named Horse of the Year, Sunday Silence, a member of Horse Racing's Hall of Fame, owned by Arthur Hancock, Charlie Whittingham, and Ernest Gaylord, trained by Charlie Whittingham and ridden by Patrick Valenzuela.
Number one
is Animal Kingdom.
Well, Animal Kingdom will have to overcome that dreaded one hole in the Fantasy Derby. We'll see if he can do it. He's the winner of the 2011 Kentucky Derby, owned by Team Valor, Darley, and Arrowfield Stud, trained by Graham Motion, ridden by Hall of Famer John Velasquez.
Number two
is Ali Sheba.
Ali Sheba, the Hall of Famer, who was the hero of the 1987 Kentucky Derby before being named Horse of the Year the following season, owned by Dorothy and Pamela Scarborough, trained by Jack Van Berg, ridden by Chris McCarron.
Number seven.
Number seven is Northern Dancer.
Northern Dancer, the only Canadian bred ever to win the Derby. He did that in 1964 before being named the Horse of the Year that same year. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's owned by Winfield Farms, trained by Horatio Luro. Bill Hartack is the Hall of Fame jockey.
Number eight.
Number eight is Barbaro.
Well, there it is. Barbaro won the 2006 Kentucky Derby by 6.5 lengths, the largest margin of victory in 60 years. Owned by Lyle Stables, trained by Michael Matz. He'll give a leg up to Hall of Fame jockey Edgar Prado.
Number 13.
Number 13.
13 is Swale.
All right, Swale, winner of the Kentucky Derby and Belmont Stakes in 1984, the Eclipse Champion three-year-old male of that same season, racing in the colors of Claiborne Farm, trained by the legendary Woody Stevens and ridden by the legendary Lafitte Pinkeye Jr.
Number 16.
16 is Secretariat.
All right, the great Secretariat, winner of the 1973 Triple Crown and two-time Horse of the Year in 1972 and 1973. Yet another Hall of Famer in this year's Fantasy Derby field, owned by Meadow Stable, trained by Lucien Lauren, will be ridden by Ron Turcotte.
And number 18.
Number 18 is Citation.
All right, the final pill pull is 18, and it goes to Citation, another member of Horse Racing's Hall of Fame, who won the Kentucky Derby in 1948 and swept the Triple Crown that year. Owned by Calumet Farm, trained by Hall of Famer Jimmy Jones, Hall of Famer Eddie Arcaro will be in the irons aboard Citation. And that's the field for the Fantasy Derby. Again, 5:50 Eastern, the post next Saturday. You can tune in to us here on the network from 5 to 6 Eastern time. The coverage follows a special replay of the 2014 Kentucky Derby and California Chrome's win that year. We'll see if California Chrome can find a way to get the victory in this year's Fantasy Derby. Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net, along with our affiliate, ESPN Radio, in Louisville, Kentucky. Dan, appreciate it, my friend.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, and there it is. The field, the post positions are now drawn, and I welcome in the pontiff of the pick four, Jude Feld. We figured who else better to do this than somebody who got to see all of these horses run in person. JT, good morning.
Yeah, well, there's some of them I missed. Some of them are older than me. but I have seen a lot of them run, if not in person, on television. It was a fun exercise to do the morning line, and I kind of gave the edge to the younger horses, as most of the crowd that listens to HRRN are younger than me. So I'll see how it goes, but this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to how the race plays out. Again, Larry Colmus will have the call for us next Saturday here on the network, and going to be a lot of fun. So without further ado, we have the 20 horses in order. I'll let you present the morning line odds for each of the 20, and then we'll encourage people to head back to our website, horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby, to see a complete listing of all the horses in post position order with the morning line odds. And you can also download free BristNet Pass performances for all 20 horses in post position order. So, JT, take it away.
All right. Well, number one is Animal Kingdom. We opened him at 30-1. This is Team Valor's famous horse that it seems like more people said they bet on him than actually bet on him when he won the Kentucky Derby. So he's 30-1. Number two, Ali Sheba. Just a tremendous horse who would be 36 years old right now, trained by Jack Vanberg and one of the outstanding stars in the race. War Admiral, he's 86 currently, and he's 50-1 on the morning line. Triple Crown winner, a tremendous horse, Glen Riddle Farm owned, and just magnificent animal, really. You look at his record, and it's breathtaking. The four, Seattle Slough, opens at 20-1. Seattle Slough, a great horse that I actually saw race in person several times, and Triple Crown winner and outstanding racehorse. Minette Bird, who put in that tremendous 5/8 of a mile run in the Kentucky Derby when he won it 80-1 on the morning line. He was 50-1 in the movie, but 80-1 on the morning line. Spectacular bid. A lot of people's favorite horse. You see people talk about him continually on Instagram and Twitter. He's a very popular horse. 20-1 in the morning line. Number 7, Northern Dancer. One of the most influential stallions of all time. Tremendous racehorse in his own right. He opens at 30. Number 8, Barbaro, 20-1. Barbaro was a horse who would be 17 currently. He's a tremendous horse by Dynaformer. Really thrilling to watch. Some of his prep races leading up to the Kentucky Derby were breathtaking. Just an amazing animal, 20-1. Number 9, Justified, Triple Crown winner. Also opened him at 20-1. A son of Scat Daddy, trained by Bob Baffert, just tremendous, 6-for-6 lifetime. American Pharaoh, the Triple Crown winner, 6-1. A lot of people's favorite horse. Just a tremendous day when he won the Belmont, and a great call that day by Larry Colmus, and a tremendous animal, beautiful and friendly and fan-friendly, and a great ambassador for our sport. Number 11, Count Fleet. He's a Triple Crown winner. He opens at 50-1, basically by virtue of the fact that he'd be 80 years old currently. So there's not a lot of people that saw Count Fleet run that are still alive today. Number 12, California Chrome, a fan favorite. There's Chromies all over the United States and the world. He opens at 10-1 just because so many fans loved him so much. Number 13, Swale, 40-1 on Swale. He was a tremendous horse. His life was way too short. Lord knows what he could have become. He'd be 39 if he was alive today, a son of Seattle Slough. Just a beautiful animal and great Derby winner. Number 14, Sunday Silence, a horse that many people think is underrated. He's been a tremendous sire and just outstanding individual. 34 years old he'd be if he was alive today. Number 15, Winning Colors, 60-1 in the morning line. A mare now, a filly when she won the Derby, obviously, and a million-dollar earner, tremendous mare, beautiful. Secretariat, the great Secretariat, fan favorite, household name, if you will. A lot of people know who Secretariat is, even if they're not horse racing fans. He was on several magazines in his heyday, just worldwide known, talented individual, powerful, beautiful, classy. Opens at 5-1 as your morning line favorite, the Triple Crown winner, Secretariat. Number 17, Whirl Away, by Blenheim II, horse that was prominent in pedigrees for countless years. He'd be 82, Triple Crown winner, 50-1 on the morning line. Number 18, Citation. He's a horse that a lot of people think might have been the greatest horse that ever lived. I never got to see him run. He's 75 years old, which kind of outdates me. He's opening at 25-1 by virtue of the fact that a lot of people have him atop their list. Affirmed, one of my personal favorites. tremendous animal, did just what he had to do to get the job done many times. He was very game, very talented, and a beautiful individual on top of it. He opens at 8-1. And number 20, a horse that gave me my best weekend as a horse player, number 20, Funny Side, and he opens at 50-1.
All right, and that's the field with the morning line odds for the Fantasy Derby next Saturday. As you can tell, you're talking about 5-1 on the Great Secretariat. He is the favorite at 5-1. This field is salty, as they say in the business. 9 of the 13 Triple Crown winners represented. Pontiff, listen, appreciate you doing this. I know it was a fun exercise for you to go through and look at some of the older horses and reflect on some of the more modern-day ones. And well done on the morning line, and we'll have this posted for folks at horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby. Appreciate it,
well,
buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to do it, and good luck to everybody. I hope you take the winner.
All right, there you go. And just to recap very quickly, I'll run down one more time before I go to a break and welcome in Ed DeRosa from Brisnet and Twin Spires to share his thoughts on this field. Number one, Animal Kingdom, 30-1. Number two, Ali Sheba, 10-1. Number three is War Admiral at 50. Number four, Seattle Slough is 20-1. Number five, Mind That Bird, 80-1. Number six, Spectacular Bid, 20. Number seven, Northern Dancer, 30-1. Number eight, Barbaro, 20-1. Number nine, Justify, 20-1. Number 10, American Pharaoh, 6-1. Number 11 is Count Fleet at 50. Number 12, California Chrome at 10-1. Number 13, Swale is 40. Number 14, Sunday Silence, 20-1. Number 15, Winning Colors, the filly, is 60-1. Number 16, Secretariat, 5-1. Number 17, Whirl Away, 50-1. Number 18, Citation, 25. Number 19, Affirmed, 8-1. And number 20, Funny Side, 50-1 in the Fantasy Derby. I'll get to a break. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Brisk comes up next. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As they come towards the quarter pole in the Kentucky Derby, and towards the inside, it's Shackleton, Nero to the outside, Coming for the top, followed by Pants on Fire, then Animal Kingdom, followed by Mucho Macho Man, then Santiva, Stay Thirsty, Brilliant Speed, but it's Shackleton who still leads. Here's Nero on the outside, and Animal Kingdom is pouncing late on the John Velasquez. It's now Animal Kingdom on the outside, who goes to lead for John Velasquez, and he's going clear by two lengths and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby. Nero in second. In third came Mucho Macho Man. In fourth was Shackleford. And then Master of Hounds, Santiva, Brilliant Speed. And then Pants on Fire. And Dialed In never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion and John Velasquez, who took Derby 1:37.
That's Mark Johnson with the call of the 2011 running of the Kentucky Derby. Animal Kingdom getting the victory for Graham Motion under Hall of Famer John Velasquez. He will have to overcome the inside post position next Saturday in our Fantasy Derby. No horse in the history of the Fantasy Derby has ever won from post position number one. As a matter of fact, no horse has won from any of the 20 post positions because it's the first time we're doing this. So, hey, it's wide open. It's fair to everybody. And to help us figure out who could win the Fantasy Derby, let's bring in Ed DeRosa from TwinSpires and Bristnet.com. You can go to horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby to download free Bristnet past performances for all 20 horses in this year's Fantasy Derby field. Ed, appreciate that, my friend, and appreciate you being here this morning.
Always a pleasure, and I guess my question, given the inside post of the horse we just heard from, is are you using the new 20-horse starting gate, or is it the traditional setup?
It'll be the traditional setup. This is an old-school type of thing, so we're going with the auxiliary gate.
That one's a tough spot then.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Animal Kingdom. And by the way, a couple of notable things just as I picked up on going through the post position draw here. Bill Shoemaker riding California Chrome because of the fact that Victor Espinoza, who rode California Chrome, also rides American Pharoah, and we figured Victor would stick with the Triple Crown winner. And I reached out to Alan Sherman, who, along with his dad, Art, trained California Chrome. And Alan said, yeah, Bill Shoemaker is a perfect fit. We'll take Shoemaker for the Fantasy Derby.
Well, I would say that's it's nice to have that many options to your avail. Although needing a quick jockey change worked out for Animal Kingdom in 2011. So, you know, we'll see. Bill Shoemaker certainly knows his way around.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'll give you one more little tidbit here. If you believe in omens, Barbaro drew post position number 8 for the Fantasy Derby, the same post position and saddle tile number that he had when he won the Kentucky Derby in real life. So maybe an omen there for Barbaro in post 8.
I would say that's in a game of, what's the word, not conspiracy, superstition. I would say that's a good one to follow for him, and he's certainly one I have my eye on at the price, no doubt.
Yeah, he's 20-1 on the morning line. So who do you like in the Fantasy Derby? How are you playing this? If indeed we could bet on the Fantasy Derby, how are we going to do it?
Well, I mean, if these odds hold up, I mean, I think Secretariat's a touch high. I actually did a mock line for the Triple Crown deal Churchill Downs is doing, and I thought he'd be around even money against a group of other Triple Crown winners. Now, the rub here is some of these horses who didn't win the Triple Crown that are in the Fantasy Derby that only won the Derby or another race but did not win the Triple Crown, like Spectacular Bid, Northern Dancer, are better than some of the Triple Crown winners, if I'm being honest. So it's a really intriguing parimutuel puzzle, Mike, because you're basically saying, well, maybe the best horse gets overbet, a horse like Secretariat. And, I mean, how do you ignore 20-1 on Barbaro, 30-1 on Northern Dancer, 20-1 on Spectacular Bid? I only saw Barbaro run live. I didn't see either of the other two's derbies. But Barbaro was the best Derby performance I've seen with my own eyes, and really I would go so far as to say my lifetime of watching the Derby, which 1990 is the first one I remember, which was Unbridled, who also ran awesome. So I'm inclined to just believe my eyes and take a big price on Barbaro. I think Spectacular Bid's the best horse to ever run, so I'm certainly not going to let him get away at 20-1 if that were to happen. And then Northern Dancer just seems like one of those horses that, you know, because he didn't win the Triple Crown, maybe doesn't get elevated to that level. But, you know, I truly think from everything I've read about people who did get to see him, he was up there with the best easily. So those three at those prices, post 6, 7, 8, I think that's where I plant my flag, assuming we actually got those prices.
Yeah, you know what the coolest thing about something like this, for me anyway, Ed, is, you know, we always talk about which team might be better than another team. You know, the New York Yankees of the 1930s, were they better than the New York Yankees of the 1950s? Or how would they fare against the modern-day New York Yankees? Or, you know, is it Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus? You know, who was the greatest? And we hear these things in every sport, but when you look at, and you put this 20-horse field together of great Derby winners, they're all great. They all deserve to be the winner in this race. But you look at it and you say, okay, would a horse like Citation be able to compete with a Secretariat or a Seattle Slough, for example? That's the beauty of things like this to me.
Oh, no. And, you know, I think I'm 40, so I have going on a generation under my belt of being in this industry, you know, firsthand, but it's amazing to me thinking back to my first Derby on track, which was Funnyside in 2003. So that's 17 years ago now. For some of the people on the track, 17 years before that was, I guess that'd be 1986, Ferdinand. And, you know, I remember thinking at the track, like, man, some of these people I'm working with saw these horses, Winning Colors, which was 88. And is in this fantasy Derby, and we'll look to see if she can take them all the way. But you know, and it seems so long ago at that age, and now that I'm a little older, you like to think, well, that wasn't really that long ago. But just getting these horses' names and their stories and what they accomplished to win the Derby and to get there, I think is so important and so a part of the fabric of racing. I mean, we trace pedigrees back, you know, several centuries. And the Kentucky Derby, to me, is sort of the pedigree of our stories because it's the race everyone knows about.
Yeah, and again, it's fun to look back on these horses, and you can do it with the Brist Pass performances that Ed and the team over there were kind enough to put together for us. They're up on our website now. You can go reflect on some of the horses from the past, and, you know, well, they're all from the past now, but some of the greats from the past that we saw, like Citation, like Count Fleet, you know, horses that you don't get to look at their past performances every day. You can go back and see their accomplishments, and you're going to notice that some of the trainer and jockey information is not on the past performances. That's why we are posting the entire draw sheet for you on our website. The way it works with Brist and with companies that put together past performances, you can only draw in certain information back to a certain date. So old-time jockeys and trainers are not available to be posted on past performances. So if you're wondering why that's the case, that's the reasoning behind it. And Ed, really can't thank you enough for supplying the past performances, though.
No, it was a treat to go through and look, and you know, obviously some incomplete information. You mentioned with the horsemen associated with these horses, but would have also been nice to see some, you know, proprietary data, what kind of speed rating some of these horses would have earned. Those didn't start for Bristnet until 1990, but still, any horse since then, you get to see how they stack up against each other. And, you know, thought it was interesting that American Pharoah came on top on Prime Power. And again, that includes no calculations before 1990. So by no means is that trying to suggest we're giving the edge to him over, you know, Bid or Secretariat, et cetera. But, you know, there were plenty of horses from 1990 through now in this race. So was interesting to see Pharoah on top, but as awesome as he was, He is the second choice at 6-1. That's a little light for me, and I think of the most recent runners, I'd really love to see Barbaro at his best against these type of horses.
Yeah, it should be fun. Again, all that coverage next Saturday, 5-6 Eastern, here on the network, the HRN Fantasy Derby presented by Claiborne, and we're looking forward to that. Our entire team, myself, Kurt Becker, the announcer at Keeneland, will join me as an analyst, along with Tom Leach, the voice of the UK Wildcats. Looking forward to having Tom aboard. Bobby Newman will be with me, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and again, Larry Colmus with the call
of the race. It's going to be fantastic. Make sure you're tuned in 5 to 6 Eastern.
That might be a better all-star lineup than the horses in the race.
I don't know about that. I'll tell you what, those guys do a great job, and I can't wait to put this thing together with them next Saturday. Duke, you do a great job, too. Appreciate the visit here this morning. I got to get to a commercial break. Mark Henning is coming up next to talk about the Unbridled Stakes. But, listen, appreciate you being here, buddy.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to next week.
All right, Ed DeRosa here on HRRN. I'll get to that break. I'll come back with our Calling All Three-Year-Olds segment this week's edition, as always, presented by Spendthrift, then Mark Henning, and then your KTA, KTOB, Kentucky Bred Spotlight for this Saturday morning. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Catholic Boy, one of only three American three-year-old colts in history to win grade ones on both dirt and turf, including the immortal Secretariat. A graded stakes winner at 2, 3, and 4, from coast to coast, from 7.5 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. In 2018, the fastest three-year-old in the country over 10 furlongs by internationally successful sire More Than Ready. Catholic Boy, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Adena Springs homebred champion Macho Uno is a proven source of classic speed and a great stallion to start off young mares. Macho Uno's runners average $88,000, higher than the likes of Malibu Moon and More Than Ready. He's the sire of 5 Grade 1 winners and 3 classic horses, including multiple Grade 1 winning Sprinter and Miler Private Zone and Breeders' Cup Classic champion Mucho Macho Man, who is now North America's number one third crop sire, having produced this year's sensational Pegasus World Cup hero, Mucho Gusto, along with Del Mar Grade 2 winner and Grade 1 place Mucho Unusual, stakes winner Mucho Amor, multiple graded placed Bellora, and $575,000 juvenile and TDN Rising Star Fortin Hill. Mucho Macho Man's juveniles averaged $122,000 at the OBS March sale, higher than Liam's Map, Hard Spun, and Uncle Mo. Macho Uno and Mucho Macho Man, standing the 2020 season for $10,000 at Adena Springs. Visit adenastallions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Americana slides through for Castellano, inside and now into a contending spot through a 45 3/2 mile. It's Cost Basis who comes away with the lead. He left the rail open for Americanas, who quickened through nicely. And now Americanas has hit the front. Violent City down the stand side with Silver Ratio. Less than an eighth to go. Violent City tries to get Americanas. Americanas down inside with the lead. Back to second is Violent City. It was a Hall of Fame ride from a Hall of Fame rider. Americanas in front. Second, Violent City. Third with Silver Ratio. Then Cost Basis in 123-2.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. That was Pete Aiello, Americanas, a victory in an allowance race at Gulfstream on February 22nd. He's back in action in the Unbridled Stakes later this afternoon. I will visit with his trainer, Mark Henning, coming up in just a few moments. But first, it is time for this week's edition of Calling All Three-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift.
They're all in line. They're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
The big focus this week surrounds which horses will compete in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby next Saturday, May 2nd. Or maybe I should say, which horses will get to compete in the race. The Oaklawn starting gate holds 14 horses maximum, and as of now, there are at least 16 horses being considered for the 9-furlong affair. Let's start with Mr. Big News, Farmington Road, and Tayshan. By virtue of their 1-2-3 finish in the Oaklawn Stakes on April 11th, they receive automatic berths to the Arkansas Derby. That leaves 11 spots remaining to the horses with the highest career earnings. That probables list, from highest earnings down, includes Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Storm the Court, Louisiana Derby winner Wells Bayou, Rebel Champ Nadal, Southwest Stakes winner Silver Prospector, Breeders' Cup runner-up Anno d'Or, Rebel runner-up Accession, Tampa Bay Derby winner King Guillermo, Gouverneur Morris, Blackberry Wine, Shooter Shoot, and up-and-comer Pneumatic. The two currently on the outside looking in are My Friend's Beer and Charlatan. But several factors could change who gets in and who doesn't. First off, trainer Brett Calhoun indicated that Mr. Big News may forego his automatic berth and skip the race, opening the door for one of the bubble horses. On the other side of things, three-year-olds like hopeful winner Basin and Breeders' Futurity champ Maxfield could be entered. And since they both have ample earnings, that would knock a few near the bottom of the list from in to out. Lots of moving pieces to be sorted out, but it certainly seems like a stellar field is taking shape for next weekend. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Spendthrift Farms' popular Safe Bet program is back for 2020, featuring freshman sires Brody's Cause, Cinco Charlie, and Hit It A-Bomb. Breed to one of these stallions and watch their first crop of two-year-olds have greatest stakes success on the racetrack this year, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born in 2021. To learn more about the Safe Bet program, visit SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Numbers 1 and 2, Authentic and Honor AP, the 1-2 finishers in the San Felipe Stakes, both looking for their next start. Number 3 is Tis the Law, winner of the Florida Derby. He's an outsider for the Arkansas Derby next weekend. Number 4 is Maxfield. He hasn't raced since his 2-year-old season, nearing a return to the races possibly in next weekend's Arkansas Derby. And co-number 5s, Charlatan and Pneumatic, both of them undefeated in two starts and both hoping to get into next Saturday's Arkansas Derby field. That's your Calling All 3-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
All right, my thanks to Bobby Newman for that segment and to Spendthrift for sponsoring it each and every week. We continue to call all three-year-olds with trainer Mark Hennig, who has a pretty good one going to the post later this afternoon at Gulfstream Park in the Unbridled Stakes. That's Americanus, the three-year-old son of Warfront, who won an allowance race quite impressively on February 22nd at Gulfstream, and Mark is with me now. Mark, first of all, good morning. Appreciate the time.
Good morning. Good to join you.
Americanus opened some eyes with that nice move in that allowance win on February 22nd. Share your thoughts on that performance.
I thought it was a very professional effort. You know, he's a really cool horse. He's very laid back. And he just kind of waits on a rider's cues, which is, you know, great habit for a horse to have. And he never trains over aggressively. He never does anything over aggressively. He's just a very happy, willing horse, and I think he showed it in that race.
Going back even further to last year, last September, he broke his maiden at First Asking at Belmont Park. He did that professionally, sitting behind horses, then eventually drew off. Did you get a sense early on that this could be a precocious horse?
You know, in the morning's training, he doesn't strike you as a first out winner because he's not a real speedy horse. He's just kind of a pleasurable horse to be around, and he trains that way. He's not tough. He doesn't, you know, he would work next to another horse, but he was never one that was going to leave one behind him in the mornings because he just was waiting on whatever the rider wanted him to do. So, you know, he kind of surprised me that he ran that well first race out of the box. And, you know, I thought that after that, you know, he in the race in February where he showed the coming through on the inside the way he did, you know, he got caught up chasing in the race prior, and Javier and I discussed that. And we were happy in the last race he was kind of able to let the race dictate itself, and he could sit where he wanted and not get stuck being the chaser in the race.
You know, I know it's way too early to start
even thinking about the Kentucky Derby that first Saturday in September, if indeed that's when we run the Kentucky Derby. I think that, you know, still up in the air somewhat, but let's hope that it happens on the first Saturday in September. But, Mark, here's a horse that if it was run next week on the first Saturday in May, you would have no shot to get him to the Kentucky Derby. Now he starts to come around and show his true talent. I guess you have to be thankful that we're not talking about the Derby till the first Saturday in September.
Yeah, I mean, we've actually got a few that fit that mold. And, you know, I think the time's going to help us ultimately and give us an opportunity to have, you know, hopefully one of them there, if not more. But, you know, we had some hiccups, but we didn't put any pressure on them. And then when this unfolded, you know, we had given thought to running Americanus in the Florida Derby. But once the Kentucky Derby was suspended to later or postponed, we decided just to be more, a lot more patient than that and let him find his way. I mean, this is going to be a big test for him, first time around, two turns and stretching out. So, one step at a time. But the nice thing about September 5th is it gives us plenty of time to see what unfolds.
Who are the other Hennig three-year-olds we should keep an eye on as we move closer to that date in September?
Well, we've got a nice colt named Sonneman that broke his maiden last fall going a mile at Belmont in a 12-horse field. He came from off the pace that day, ran very impressively, and he came back here his first start back first weekend in April, and that was his first start since that race in October, and he won very nicely going 7/8 from way back, broke slow, came running late, and, you know, he's a curling. He's got, I think, a very bright future. But, we're going to get him in the stakes company next time, and we'll find out. The other one I'm really fond of is a horse that probably should have won his last race. He finished second, but he got bothered pretty good in the turn. His name is Orefice, and he's a half brother to Great, buried out of Grace Hall, I should say, by Medaglia d'Oro, and he's a really nice maiden. I mean, it's weird to be talking about maidens as potential Derby horses, but I think that horse has a very bright future. He's a horse that's just kind of had to figure it out as he went along. Big, tall, lanky horse that has filled out nicely, and I think every time he goes over there, he learns a little more.
Talking with trainer Mark Hennig here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, just a minute or two left before I have to get to our final commercial break, but yesterday you and I were texting back and forth. I sent you a link to our HRN Fantasy Derby page, which will be contested next Saturday, and a field of 20 winning colors who you were around when you were working with Dwayne Lucas. She made the field. She was voted in. She'll break from post 15. Jude Feld made her 60-1 on the morning line in this field. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't think she's going to get things her own way. Like she may have, you know, she got away with a little bit of, you know, she got an easy lead or somewhat easy lead that day. Very nice filly. I don't know that she, you know, would have stacked up, you know, against this group, but. You know, she was tough. Once she got out there and got on the lead, she had a lot of talent.
Yeah, what made her so special?
Her size. I mean, she was such a big, strong filly. I mean, she really was like running a colt. She was just a massive filly, and she had that, you know, quality speed that she could sustain it over a long period of time, and she'd run horses off their feet. So, you know, but you stack up 20 Derby winners, that's a little different than 20 horses that ran in the Derby.
Yeah, and 9 of the 13 Triple Crown winners. It's a pretty salty race, to say the least.
Right.
Well, Mark, listen, I appreciate
story it. About winning colors.
Go ahead.
Winning colors, when she won the Derby, a bunch of us had the had a big future book bet on it, because we kind of knew she might run the Derby before anyone else, because she hadn't run in the in the Santa Anita Oaks yet. And we put together, everybody pooled their money together from everywhere, each division. And we all, Jeff and somebody else went over to Vegas, and we started out at getting 100-1 on her. But as we bet, as the day went on, I think we ended up averaging out about 25-1 on her, for the Derby future book. But it, came at a point in my life. I had just started working for Wayne. It allowed me to buy my first car in New York when I had moved back there.
That's a great story. Mark Hennig here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, listen, all the best with Americanas today, and thanks for spending a little time with me here this morning. Good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, Mark Hennig here on HRRN. I'm back to wrap this one up right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
In these uncertain times, my old Kentucky home means actually staying at home. These gates will open again, and when they do, let's be ready to show up and prove to the world what horse racing means to Kentucky. See you at the races.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zophie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Taprit, standing for 12,500 at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Basketball has Michael Jordan. Hockey has Wayne Gretzky. But which thoroughbred racehorse is the GOAT? Find out Saturday, May 2nd at 5 p.m. Eastern on the HRRN Fantasy Derby, presented by Claiborne Farm. This once-in-a-lifetime fantasy race will pit the 20 best Derby winners against each other in a race to determine who is the greatest of all time. Featuring a full broadcast with HRRN's Eclipse Award-winning team and a live race call from NBC track announcer Larry Colmus. The HRRN Fantasy Derby will finally settle the argument, which horse is the GOAT? The HRRN Fantasy Derby, presented by Claiborne Farm. Saturday, May 2nd at 5 p.m. Eastern. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to see the full field.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, in these unprecedented times, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and Kentucky Thoroughbred owners and breeders want to thank everyone who has continued to make the safety and welfare of every horse their top priority. Stay safe, and we will see you soon when racing resumes in the near future. Don't forget, too, in Blood Horse, the April 25th edition, you can catch several different features. You can download a copy of Blood Horse magazine and tablet today from the App Store or Google Play. You can go to shop.bloodhorse.com or sign up at subscribe.bloodhorse.com. My thanks to all of our guests who helped make this show possible, including Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. Great interview with him in the first half of the program. Wonderful conversation with Del Hancock as well in the first half of the show. Jude Feld for appearing with our morning line for the Fantasy Derby next Saturday. The Duke of Degeneracy, Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Briss, was with me. And Mark Henning just a few moments ago. And, of course, our Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris, Leslie McCall. She was fantastic in the first half of the program today. Yeah, it all happens next Saturday. Don't forget, this whole week coming up is Secretariat Week here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, honoring the great Secretariat as we lead into the Fantasy Derby next Saturday. And that coverage next Saturday, all presented by Claiborne. We'll encourage you to go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to learn more. My thanks to Chauncey for handling all of our social media again here this morning. For Lee Delapina in our Lexington studios, I am Mike Penna. Thanks for listening. And hey, Chase Claypool, Alex Highsmith, welcome to the Berg. Go Steelers.